WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Much better out there today. We're having a heat wave. We're up to 33 degrees now, and that is a wonderful difference from 1 degree. We have with us straight from Mississippi, where they never see 1 degree temperatures, Anthony Tuggle. How are you? Have you ever had 1 degree temperatures in Mississippi?
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't had them in Tennessee until this week.
Would you like another one?
I want to say no.
One's enough.
That's
huh?
When I kind of like the South. I wouldn't have to deal with all of that. But I guess good we didn't have a whole lot of snow and ice to go along with it.
So thank goodness.
So we got to think positive about it. So
yeah, that's right. And, of course, Raleigh Holden would have liked some snow.
Yes, he said those sleds. So
yeah.
That would have been great for the kids. They were out of school. They would have had a ball.
Oh, they would have had a ball. Well, you know, we still have quite a bit of winter left. So who knows about the snow?
I thought it was spring the day after the last few days we
Yeah, such a dramatic difference in temperature. It feels like spring.
Yes, it's warm today.
Yeah, 33 already. Wow. And as you look back on the past week, there's just nothing you can do outside when it's 1 degree, I guess. Just stay inside and look for the warm day.
Just hope it warms up.
Yeah.
About all we can do, all we can really recommend to do. But with those cold temps we had bought earlier this week, some things that come to mind are how much damage will our plants suffer.
I hadn't even thought about that.
And they probably will suffer some. And I guess I'm more concerned about our fruit crop would be some of the big issues, because we know that those fruit and buds that are on those fruit trees probably have been thinned out or completely killed on some of the fruit trees. So we really want to probably have people to kind of think about it. It's a wait and see, really. So we're going to have to kind of watch those as the temperature change in time for those actually start flowering and budding out. So, but some of those fruit crops, especially some of the peaches and things like that, crops may not be as good this upcoming year. Apples may be okay, but really want to think about a lot of those type plants. But there's nothing we can do about it. But really, people kind of keep in mind we're doing it later in the year when they start having some issues. Also, it may when the plants. Even some of the woody shrubs and trees and shrubs, you may start seeing cracks and breaks when the plants start to come back out. And really, probably even 2 years, probably start seeing more dieback and even more damage on some of those plants. So there will be some cases of some plant loss and some plant damage, and especially our fruit crop.
Now, with fruit trees, you have to prune them totally different from other trees because the canopy needs to be more open. So the sunlight can come in, and of course, when you don't have any leaves on the tree, that makes it a whole lot easier to prune, because then you can see that you're opening up that canopy. Is that even more important to do now than it was before because of this 2 or 3 days of 1 degree temperatures?
Well, it's always good to improve to open up the canopy, as you mentioned, to get good air and light circulation throughout the tree to reduce disease population. Right now, I wouldn't do anything.
Really. Just stay. It's not warm enough yet.
But usually, probably late February or March time, we think about pruning some of those trees. Then, yes, you probably want to continue. And you once, even if you prune them out, you may even notice that later in the year that you may start seeing, have some dieback on some of those. You may have, so the next year you probably even prune a little bit more. But yeah, some of them may be self-pruned.
Yeah, and so, that does happen. You find them on the ground all the time.
So there will be a kind of concern of our fruit crop later in this year and also into next year for sure.
There's nothing you can do about that, though, you say?
Nothing we can do about it, Bart.
Just
hope.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
Okay. Well, now, we're out of time right now. Is it too late to still plant a few trees and shrubs and things of that sort? As far as if the ground's not
frozen,
yeah.
I wouldn't. Well, no, it's not too late. Anytime, especially those trees and shrubs that are dormant, along the ground, as you mentioned, along the ground, it's not frozen. We can put them out. But I probably really would encourage folks, especially with the weather pattern we have, probably wait till late February and March.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since we're using more and more containerized plants, we'll have a tendency to work better. But if you have some bare-rooted type plants, like fruit trees, they still come bare-rooted, then I'll probably look at planting those early to mid-February time frame. But most containerized plants, they can be done on the ground, not frozen, but I probably would wait a little bit on those as well.
Okay. As you look back on the past week, did you get many calls or were they sort of quiet? And if you got calls, what were they? Did they seem to be about any one subject?
Well, no. Most of the calls, people brought in some dormant plants and want to identify, which is kind of hard to identify plants when the leaves are all brown and things like that.
So they brought twigs in.
So we are seeing quite a bit of that. And really, we got to say, well, kind of make a guess. We really have to kind of wait to see it till it come back out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been most of the time.
Why were they wanting to know what they were?
Well, they describe them and tell them how they look when they were flowering or in color, the color of the leaves and things like that. And they wanted more of them. So really,
so they liked the way it looked.
They did.
But wanted more of them. Okay.
So kind of, we wasn't much help on identifying dormant plants.
So the main thing is to grow things that are that do well in this area.
It would be great. Kind of what we like to call our transition zone. We mm-hmm. can grow a lot of different types of plants, and none of them too well. But we do well with a lot of plants. So if people move from up north and further down south, and they like the plants that they've had, and they try to adapt. And typically, in most cases, they can grow. The biggest thing probably plants that you bring from further down south, I'm going to say Florida,
mm-hmm.
they're not cold tolerant. They won't survive our winters, which I don't know how many are going to survive this winter this time. But
now, are there some plants that just say, I love clay and rocks? If there's one thing I want to be around, clay and rocks. What is the best plant for clay and rocks? Because we're well blessed with those.
First plant come to mind are cedar.
Cedar, okay. Well, that's why we're the cedar capital.
So that would be the first plant come to mind. But we do real with a lot of different types of plants. One of my favorite plants still have always been the crepe myrtles. They always seem to do quite well. And
how big do they get?
Oh, they can get humongous. You can get them size of a tree over a period mm-hmm. of time. You get them a tree for them and how you prune them, how they grow and manage. So they can get really, really large. And they seem to always bounce.
You mean
back.
Big enough to climb? You could climb them?
I've seen some quite that big.
Okay.
But you obviously take time for some of those, depending on the variety that you get. But the shrub variety, the tree variety, all those seem to do real well. I'm a big fan of a lot of hollies.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to do real well and stay green year-round and also have the red berries and things like that that they do real well also. Viburnums or some plants that don't have a lot of issues. I can't think of a lot of issues that have on a lot of some of those as well. But those probably some of my favorite plants.
Yeah. Well, now, you mentioned that if we were looking for a plant that does really well with rocks and clay, the cedar tree is probably the one. are there any negatives about the cedar tree? People need to be aware that if you have those, you're going to have more of a chance to get such and such bugs or this or that or funny smells or anything like that?
I can't think of anything right now, but I'm sure some of the callers probably can remind me of some issues. I know a lot of people really in the past and kind of always soak cedars and pine with ticks.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real true, but ticks are always in the woods and things like that, but that's kind of a myth type deal. But mostly I don't really think any negative. Usually they are pretty hardy. There are insects or diseases that attack them. They bounce back pretty well. Only thing I can think of, since we're talking about that, and maybe they do produce galls, which cause you have certain type of apples, see the apple rust.
Mm-hmm.
So you have an apple crop, then they may not get some specks on, get some rust on some of those plants. And that's about the biggest negative. It don't hurt the cedar tree, it hurts more the apples.
Yeah. Well, particularly in the older days, a lot of people lined their closets with cedar wood.
And smells good.
It smells good, and supposedly it gets rid of moths, keeps moths out of the closets. We don't seem to have as big of a problem with moths. Why do we not have moth problems? Maybe we don't have... Do
100%
we not?
Cotton clothing?
Yeah, they get rid of, that could be it. We got rid of wool.
We got rid of the stuff they feed on a lot.
Okay.
I have no idea for sure about that.
Any of you still have problems with moths at your place? And have any of you had closets that were lined with cedar? And I wonder, how long does that smell work? I mean, does it last forever? If you have a cedar closet, is it going to smell like cedar forever? And that's sort of interesting. How long will it last?
And I did talk to quite a few people this year about Christmas trees. They actually like that smell, and they got live Christmas trees and things like that. So they really enjoyed that smell. So it kind of reminded me, we're talking about smell of cedar and pine in our own. So I know a lot of folks are kind of going back to that those trees and with those smells, going out cutting their own trees and things like that. So.
And those are good ones to plant. As you mentioned, if you're wanting a tree that you could plant, the cedar tree is one of those good ones because it loves clay and rocks. And but again, I would imagine you don't want a huge tree to plant. You're wanting a small one again.
Smaller the better. I'm a big fan of planting small plants wherever they are, trees or shrub, because I kind of tell people, especially when they're in those burlap bags, that tree has been dug and some of the root system is left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you dig it, then the smaller the tree, or the more likely, the more the roots you will get. And the larger the tree you are, the more roots you'll leave behind. So really, the smaller the better when we think about planting those plants.
Now, if you put several cedar trees close to each other, they will give you some good privacy, I understand.
They will. They would work well. I know... they are everywhere. We see how they grow wild, and you can actually purchase different. A lot of the different nurseries and box stores have them, so you can find cedar, hollies. One of the probably most common one is Leland cypress, which probably wouldn't be my recommendation. They do have quite a few issues with some cankers and things like that, but they do grow fast and they look great. Mm-hmm. So a combination of different plants.
Yeah, whether it's a cedar or some other type of tree, you need to know how big they will get so that, I mean, when they're little, they look nice and cute up close to the house, but they could get to where they're pushing your house. How big do these get, and how far away from structures, fences, houses, things like that, should you put them?
Exactly, Bart. Look at the mature size of those. We have a publication on our website. I think it's called Plant the tree in the right location, something like that. But really want to think about the mature size of these plants when we put them out, and how big are they going to be.
Mm-hmm. Good things to think about, good things to know about. Now, we're at a time of the year where we're needing to bring in knowledge, and won't be too long, people don't realize this, won't be too long till you'll be actually out in the yard working on things, and that's a dream come true when it's even when it's 34 degrees outside, but especially when it was 1 degree, you look forward to springtime, which is really not that long away. Are there any programs coming up at the Agricultural Extension Service here in Rutherford County to help us become better with the home lawns and with the gardens, things of that sort?
Bart, I guess one of the first programs we got coming up that I can think about for home and garden, our master gardener program, people have signed, and I think that class is full.
Mm-hmm.
Probably got about 40 people who signed up for that class. That's a 15-week series of programs, which I think it starts maybe next week. But it's, unfortunately, it is completely full. Before and then, we do have a commercial heart workshop that's coming up in February. Then after that, I think most of our sessions will start in May, and they're going to really be at our farmers market on Tuesdays and Fridays. So we're going to offer different free educational sessions, as well as some cooking classes and things like that at our market on Tuesday and Friday, beginning in May. But we do have other program, diabetes class, cooking classes, and things like that they can actually sign up for. And there's a list, and it should be on our website, so they can find a lot of those on there. But as far as a home and garden, I think most of those are going to start in March and April time frame.
Okay, now is Miss Pat Whitaker going to do some of her classes on how to do canning? I mean, that's really getting popular.
It is, and they probably going to be more in the garden. They're probably more this summer time frame if those are scheduled, because you usually want to can or have anything to can unless you buy it at the store and can. But a lot of those will be doing the growing season and things like that. So she do well in preserve. That's when people have lights to go out and things like that. So it's good to have some things that are canned so you don't have to worry about the power go out. They won't go bad if they're canned.
And people are already still enjoying fresh tomatoes and things like that right now that were canned. And it's delicious.
They are. So, Miss Pappy, I know she's going to have a lot of those programs, and I know people can't wait to have those.
Did your mom can a lot?
Yes. Mostly, I'm going to say can. We froze a lot of corn and peas and beans and...
I remember my grandmother canned a lot, and she would can everything from okra to tomatoes, it was all delicious. It was sort of an adventure to go down her into the basement, because up and down the steps they had shelves, and it was sort of like stepping back into the seasons. If it was the dead of winter, you could have tomatoes or okra, any of that, and it was delicious. I think her okra was pickled, though. And is that a type of canning, pickle things?
I would say so. Pat may disagree, but I don't know. I would think so. I know a lot of people did a lot of preserves. And actually, I have a brother. He still do preserves, and that's kind of where I get all my preserves from. He do a lot of those. He keep me stocked with that. So he like canning those preserves and doing different types of preserves.
And so, these are things that Pat Whitaker is going to be offering in the months to come, so be listening to the radio, and we will let you know about those. In fact, hopefully we'll have Pat on the show sometime soon, too, as we get a little closer to that canning time of the year. Well, we're approaching the halfway point, and when we get back, we'll open up the phone lines. The next part is where you call in. If you have any questions about cedar trees, about fruit trees, just sort of making your way through, were your fruit trees damaged? Did you have some damage to trees with this cold, cold weather? Can you even tell if you have damage yet? 893-1450 is our number. That's the number to call, 893-1450. What is your favorite memory of canned fruits or canned anything? 893-1450. Man, let's take a roll down memory lane on that one.
Take you to the local games. We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
At Music World and Drummer's Den, we have a great tech guy for your guitar repairs, amp repairs, and those guitar setups that are so critical. At Music World and Drummer's Den, we match internet prices on major items, come in and actually feel and touch the instruments, and make sure that that's exactly what you want, and really be comfortable before you make a purchase. This is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den, South Church, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Do you like antique designs? See our collection of Gordon Clark.
I'm Greg Tidwell.
And I'm Lisa Halliburton. Bell Jewelers welcomes you.
Reset your diamond into a timeless piece from Gordon Clark.
Bell Jewelers is Murfreesboro's most trusted jewelry store for 134 years. If Bell says it's so, it's so.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street, across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
This is Scott inviting you to come in and check out the largest selection of new and used fitness equipment in Murfreesboro. New equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. We've got a bit of congestion. I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, I-24 Medical Center Parkway. Getting busy. Old Fort Parkway at Marketplace. Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane. Broad at Church and Broad at Memorial getting busy. We've got some sleet making its way across the western portions of the mid-state. Could possibly cause some problems there in Murfreesboro in a few minutes. Reveal your natural brilliance with Fraxel Laser Skin Care. Safe, effective treatment to renew your skin surface. Buy two Fraxel Restores. Get two free. Call 931-433-6871. Or visit drbeautiful.net. Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see a few scattered rain showers here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high into the mid-40s, and we'll have winds out of the southeast between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 34.
Thank you for making our first 5 years here in Murfreesboro so successful. This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Call 615-494-4200. Member FDIC.
Money issues? There's somebody local you can talk to. Financial Coaching Radio with local certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Weekdays 4 to 5 on WGNS.
And the light shines.
Did he say sleet coming in? Wow. That's, you know, it sort of goes along with 1 degree temperatures earlier in the week. Might as well bring in the sleet. 893-1450 is our number. Anthony Tuggles with us. Do you ever have sleet in Mississippi?
We did have some.
Did you have some sleet?
Yeah. Okay. Not a lot, but we had some.
Anthony's with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. What are your favorite memories of, you know, canning, eating the canning, the products of canning this time of the year? I mean, it's just something about that. It's so fun. Being able to pull out some fresh tomatoes, okra, whatever it might be. What are some of the most unique things? Did you do a lot of pickling? 893-1450. That's a lost art, and thanks to Pat Whitaker, it's coming back again. Very popular. More and more people are doing that. More and more people are having gardens, and I guess the two sort of go hand in hand. Gardening has become, I understand, the most popular form of relaxation, and it's a good form of exercise, too. And you don't have to have a huge yard. You can do it in an apartment complex. You're just a little different type of gardening. And you see people doing that all the time, don't you?
We have people doing containerized gardening in a lot of different complexes, whether there's a retirement home or either an apartment, a lot of raised bed gardening. So we see a lot of different types of gardening styles. And so people kind of utilize the space that they have So, it's very popular.
And right now, I mean, with it being 34 degrees now, this is not the time you want to be out working in a garden, but it is a time that you're planning ahead for a month or so down the road when you put together that garden. Now, are there advantages on container gardens versus raised bed gardens versus the old standby that everybody thinks about? Are there certain advantages that you might want to be thinking about right now?
Well, the biggest advantage I can think of for the containerized garden and the raised bed garden is that they take less work because you don't have to do a whole lot of cultivating. And plus, you're going to have fewer vegetables because you're going to have, obviously, a lot smaller area to manage and take care of. With some of those raised bed garden and containerized garden, then you will have to water a little bit more often because since they are raised, water do flow down, so they will have a tendency to dry out a little bit faster. So, but the biggest advantage I probably would say is that they a little bit less time and energy just because they are so small, and that's probably about it. And I'm getting messages, and we do have a healthy vegetable garden session in February the 8th. And that's on a Saturday from now 9 to 12. So that will be a kind of a real detailed program to talk about growing healthy vegetables. And I'm sure Mitchell going to talk touch on as well some of those containerized garden and raised bed garden. So we do have a program. So I looked at the website, and then they start sending me information. So technology, so they can forward you information while you talk.
There you go.
To make this.
A lot of people who are living in an apartment, because there are a lot of apartment dwellers around, if they got a big, like a watering trough or something like that over at the farm stores, and can you fill that up with dirt? Is that a good thing to work with? I mean, that's a big container as far as largeness goes when you put it on a patio. Would that be suitable? And could you do a lot? Could you do tomatoes and, okra, things like that in there?
Well, you can, but I want to kind of remind folks, even though you have a containerized garden, they still need some drainage holes in them.
Okay.
Because if you water them and the water kind of sits at the bottom, you will kind of develop root rot problems. So really, we've had folks to grow tomatoes and peppers in 5-gallon buckets. So, I mean, the container and also in different flower pots. So you can actually grow them pretty much in anything, but you still they can't drown. The root system can't drown, so, and also you have to provide nutrients to them. Thing about also some of the containerized plants is that, and first you've been in the soil, you typically gonna use a soil medium, and they may not have the all the nutrients that the soil will have, so you may have to add additional fertilizer to some of those containers because as you water them, you're really kind of flushing the nutrients out because you water them so regularly, and the nutrients kind of flows out with the water, so you have to add a little bit more fertilizer and nutrients for those plants to actually produce. But any one of those container type plants, as you mentioned, will work. We see them growing in all different types of containers.
Now, is there an advantage of making your drain holes on the bottom or the sides? Or is there an advantage of, if you wanted to be real creative, put in some type of a PVC pipe down toward the bottom and let it drain on out into the yard or something?
You sound like an expert on that question.
Because
what you've been doing, I see you've been gardening on container. Yes, I like the drain holes on the sides.
Sides are better.
I do, because in the bottom they have a tendency to drain a little bit faster. I like to kind of, I'm just thinking about a 5-gallon bucket and kind of have it up about an inch from the bottom. And that way some water will stay in the bottom of so it won't all drain out as fast, but if it's on directly on the bottom, it will kind of flow a lot faster. So I see you've experimented with that and had some experience.
You caught me. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Anthony.
Yes, I'd like to call in and tell you, when we growed up on the farm, we used to kill our hogs, and we can our sausages. Because, we didn't have no Frigidaire and didn't want to salt them down. So you could fry them and can them and have them all through the summer.
Ooh, boy, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was.
Now, what about the, what do they call that? The crack, not crackling, but...
The crackling?
Yeah, crackling, okay.
They would keep, because, you know, we cooked them real good, but they would keep. But we canned the tenderloin and ribs and stuff like that that we couldn't keep it. We didn't have no freezer there, no deep freezer back there in the 40s. And so we would can all our meat stuff like that to have it for the summertime and when it's run out.
So that was a good, strong memory of yours of being able just to enjoy that all through the year.
Yeah, it was. And but now the weather don't hardly get cold enough so you kill hogs anymore. On the farm.
Did you ever pickle tomatoes and eggs and stuff like that?
No, we didn't do that.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a good recipe for pickled eggs.
No, when we had chickens. But our daddy let us put the eggs in the salt. We would preserve them just in the salt for Easter so we could have enough to, you know, we try to see how many we could eat at Easter time.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so you put them in the salt in a box in the smokehouse.
Now, would these be boiled? Did you boil them?
Oh, no, they'd be fresh eggs.
Fresh eggs, okay.
But you could put them in the salt and they would preserve them. We'd save them up enough so we could have a big old bunch for Easter.
Now, when you say you put them in salt, was it salt water, or did you actually
salt? No, you know how you put... Oh, no, you probably don't know. Salt your meat down, and the salt, the leftover for salt your meat down, you leave it in a box, and you stretch it back and put the eggs up in there, and it would preserve them.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's... learn something new every day.
Yeah. So thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you for sharing that with us. 893-1450. I had never heard that before.
No, but she did remind me about going into the smokehouse. You used to salt the meat down from hogs and different animals and try to put and hang them in the smokehouse. And the
country
it.
Ham?
Yes.
Ooh, boy.
Make me hungry. I hadn't eaten breakfast this morning. I'm having something to
eat. Red-eye gravy and maybe some homemade biscuits. It's hard to find that nowadays. You used to go to restaurants. And there were restaurants all around here that you'd go to and they'd have country ham, red eye gravy, biscuits. And they would specialize in that. I don't know. I guess our taste buds have changed. I don't know what happened, but they're not around anymore. I mean, they'd be just out on the highway and you'd stop there. Good food.
Everything is so fast now.
That's probably it.
We need it fast.
We need that right now, and some things just don't come fast.
Yeah. And speaking of smokehouse and hog, we do have a ham cure and 4-H group. That actually they work with Bob Woods and they cure ham and they also show those at the state fair. So some of those things that were done then and we're still doing them as a 4-H project. Mm-hmm. And those kids are doing great and really thanks to Bob for working with them and
Ms.
Davenport for working with those groups and still preserving some of those heritage things. So we may need to kind of talk a little bit more about that later on. But I know we have a real active group in doing that.
And you have a 4-H event that comes up each year that displays and has the best of the ham, the best of this, the best pies, sort of like an old county
fair. Yeah.
Now, when is that coming up? Because that's one of those, I don't want to miss that one this year.
Okay. Well, they hadn't sent me the date on that one yet. I'm not sure when it's scheduled, but it's usually in the late summer or fall time frame on that. So we'll have to get back with the date and time of those events and activities.
We have an announcement we need to make for those of you who are out on the Interstate 24 westbound. That's going toward Nashville at the 92-mile marker. There is an accident with injury. Emergency vehicles are en route to that. They were told that the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office is already on the scene, and the accident involves a sedan and a semi-truck. Bad combination there. I-24 around mile marker 92. Scott, let me know what mile marker 92 is. I have a list up in the office about that, but I have not memorized all of those mile markers. That's one of those things I had to do, but didn't quite accomplish it.
I was trying to think of which one there was myself.
You know, it makes a whole lot more sense if you say, well, this is the so-and-so exit, whatever it is. Yeah. 92, it seems like that's Church Street, but I wouldn't swear to that. I don't know. Yeah. I-24 westbound, so that's toward Nashville. Traffic going toward Nashville at the 92-mile marker. If you're listening and you're out there, call us and let us know what you're seeing. Is the traffic at a standstill? Probably want to find an alternate route if you can.
Yeah.
But hopefully everything will go well on that. That's an accident with injury. And anytime you have a car and a semi together, car doesn't usually come out too well. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. We're talking about getting ready for springtime. We're talking about the big 4-H fair. Did you find out when that is, by the way?
I did not.
Maybe somebody knows that who's listening, too. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I was just going to tell you about the wreck out there on the highway.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just east of Buchanan Road, Buchanan Road 89.
Okay.
And so the traffic is moving about 10 mile an hour, 6 mile an hour, backed up.
So try to avoid that if you could, it sounds like.
Well, if I'd have listened, and you should have told me earlier, I wouldn't be on here.
I wish I had known it earlier. Sorry about that. Thank you for calling. Okay. Bye-bye. So it's right around the Buchanan exit there. You may want to get off before that and stay off of it until Joby Jackson Parkway. Probably be a good place to get back on. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hello, Bart.
Hey, good morning to you.
Hello, Bart.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's towards Chattanooga, towards Nashville, ain't it?
Yeah.
West is? I don't think so.
Well, it's going towards Nashville, but it's on the east.
Because that's 82 somewhere, right, 81 or 2 right there around Mosberg, so it would be up towards Chattanooga, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be toward that, but I mean the traffic would be the lane going toward Nashville.
Toward Nashville, but it'd be up toward that way.
Right, yeah. You're
okay.
Right.
Okay. Appreciate it, Bart.
Thanks
Take
for
care.
Calling. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our phone number. That's one of the great things about talk radio. We can share all sorts of information, and everybody is everybody's eyes and ears, and we can let each other know some of the areas to avoid, some of the things that you may want to do if you're out there putting together plans of things to do and see. 893-1450 is our number. Anthony Tuggle's with us this morning. We're talking lawns and gardens and lots of great things to talk about there. 893-1450. Stay with us. Much more to come. We're going to check on the weather.
I knew that everything was falling through, that everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when all I needed was the truth. But that's how it's got to be.
Station that's all about saving you money. Hear Clark Howard weekdays 11 to 1, Dave Ramsey 1 to 4, and the Financial Coaching Radio Show 4 to 5.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more.
You could pretty much furnish your whole house.
Store manager Mark Sheridan.
Couches, love seats, beds, bedroom suits, dressers. We have all sorts of knickknacks, cups, glasses, silverware, any article of decor for your living room, kitchen, bathroom.
The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street, across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
This is Sheila at Ryan Flowers and Gifts, and flowers are a wonderful way to tell someone how you feel. Fresh cut, we have roses, we have other bright colored flowers, we have balloons, stuffed animals, box chocolates of South's Finest Chocolates, which are made in Tennessee. We have silk arrangements as well. We also do combos, like if you want bear and candy. This is Sheila from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts, located at 117 South Academy Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Our phone number, 615-893-7134.
This is Tina Fox at the Co-op Farm and Home Center.
We have a wide selection of the Watkins products. We have the Watkins vanilla flavoring. We have a lot of your other flavorings like lemon, peppermint. This is Tina at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. We have everything those farmers will need. We have everything from fencing to chicken coops to wire to gloves to do those outside activities, anything the farmer would need. The Co-op Farm and Home Center is at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Weatherize.
We'll see a few scattered rain showers here for this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high into the mid-40s, and we'll have winds out of the southeast between 5 and 10 miles per hour. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 34.
Brought to you by Radio Shack. Trade in 5 working portable electronics and get $25 credit toward a Fitbit Flex tablet or more at Radio Shack through February 28th in stores. Details at RadioShack.com. Void where prohibited.
Stay ahead of severe weather. Get breaking news and local sports scores first. This is Jenny Williams at Gill's Ace Hardware in Smyrna. We sponsor text alerts from WGNSradio.com. Look for the sign-up link on the homepage. It's a free service.
Weekdays at 5, it's All Sports Talk with Monty Hale Jr. and Tim Tackert. Here on WGNS, we're local. We know sports.
Swearing you're gonna drown with a beautiful
Welcome back. Anthony Tuggle's with us this morning. Anthony, have you ever seen a flash mob? Ever seen one in person?
I have not.
There's going to be one this afternoon, I understand, over at the City Hall Rotunda. Between 4:30 and 6:30, and if I were to guess, I would think it'd be closer to the 4:30 side. They're going to be there. It's the grand opening of a show, an art show, in the Rotunda of the Murfreesboro City Hall, 4:30 today. Featuring some of the great artwork of students from the Rutherford County School Systems. This is kindergarten all the way through high school. Wow. And they're going to have a flash mob just appear. And they're going to break out and dance. I've got to see that. I've never seen one in person. I want to see that.
Sounds like fun. I wish I can make it. I hope I can make it. I know I have the hockey tickets tonight, so I'm going to try to.
Well, here's something you could make, and this sounds like a lot of fun. They're going to give away some free flu shots. Would you like to have a shot? You look less than excited.
I'm not too excited about the shots, Mark.
Free flu shots on Monday, this coming Monday, January 13th. And that'll be the Rutherford County, the St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital Mobile Health Unit will be there at the Chalet Apartments on Joyner Drive in Smyrna from 9 until noon, and again from 1 until 4 in the afternoon. And that's this coming Monday, free flu shots. I was surprised to hear that there have been several deaths, some in Nashville, for flu.
Pretty young, too, from what I understand.
So let's don't mess with that stuff. Ooh, free flu shots Monday, this coming Monday, thanks to St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital's Mobile Health Unit. It will be at the Chalet Apartments, and that's at 111 Joyner Drive in Smyrna, 9 until noon Monday, and again in the afternoon there from 1 until 4. If you have any questions, Kathy Farrell has the answers, and her number is 631-7739. Did anybody send you any more information there? Anthony's just being filled with information.
No, Bart. I just still have the schedule. We'll get that. I know we have time before the 4-H fair and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know it's going to be late summertime frames. We'll.
And I volunteer to help you taste pies.
You want pies?
Yeah, pies.
Not biscuits.
Preferably
no pies. Biscuits, cornbread.
I would prefer pies.
Okay.
especially. Chess pie. Yeah. You got me covered there.
Okay.
Buttermilk pie, any of those.
Okay.
I'll do it for you. Right. It's a sacrifice.
We appreciate your
rhubarb. You ever have somebody do a rhubarb?
I don't think we've had a rhubarb pie. That's why I just passed. I don't think we've had those. We don't have
We don't have much rhubarb, but I have a cousin who we were visiting with them a couple of years ago, and she had rhubarb growing in her garden. And I'd heard about rhubarb pie before. Delicious. Of course, I think anything probably is good once you put enough sugar in it. It reminded me sort of chess pie.
I've never had one.
Of course, buttermilk pie reminds me sort of chess pie, too.
If we don't get a lot of, we can get about one call a year on rhubarb.
Well, if they ever had one, I think they would change their mind. I mean, as far as eating it, probably growing it might be hard.
The ones who have it, usually the people who call us is ready to get established and trying to find the plants and want to know how to do. We do have a publication on rhubarb, growing rhubarb, but we get about one call a year that deals with growing rhubarb. No one have called us to taste the pie, though.
Well, if the pie is what it's all about, I'm sure it's a good, is it a vegetable? Is that what rhubarb is? Or what would you call it?
I would consider it a vegetable.
So do you cook it I wonder if people cook it, bake it, cook it, fry it, whatever, other than for pies. Do you ever have baked rhubarb? I wonder. Now, there's a question.
I'm trying to think, but I really don't know.
My rhubarb has been limited to pie, but there may be something else out there that we've been missing.
Surely we can grill it, Bart. We can grill anything, right?
That's right. Let's grill that rhubarb out there. Have a rhubarb grill.
To ask Ms. Pat that question. See, what do we have? What else rhubarb is good for besides pie? Yeah. Surely it has to have another use besides pie.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Ryan, good morning, Bart and Anthony.
Good morning.
One time I tried to grow rhubarb. It's been, 15 years ago, I guess. I ordered it from one of the good magazines, the catalogs that comes out, and worked with it a couple of years. Never did get enough to have a pie, though. And it grew, the stalk of it looked, kind of like celery or something, except it turned a little bit reddish, but it was a fun thing to do, and I might try it again, but I have eaten rhubarb pie. When I went to school in Knoxville back in the 50s, I worked in the cafeteria, and rhubarb pie was one of the things that Effie was good at making. I think I gained probably 15 or 20 pounds after eating rhubarb pie with vanilla ice cream on it.
Oh, boy.
And to me, it tastes like kind of like if you had something tart, like wine sap apples. It didn't taste like chess pie. It was that rhubarb was cut up in little pieces, and I get with plenty of sugar, and I don't know what else she put in there, but it was tart, and it was so good.
Oh, I loved it. It was delicious.
I'd love to have some right now.
If you have a slice, let's get together.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on WGNS Murfreesboro with Anthony Tuckle.
Mr. Walker,
yes?
You had two of us on at the same time.
Uh-oh.
She said something about ice cream. I just want you to know this is an ice cream lady.
Oh, how are you? Good morning.
Doing? Oh, I'm doing good. I heard Anthony on there this morning. I just had to call in. I haven't seen him or talked to him in some time.
Are you going to make some rhubarb ice cream?
No, I don't. I can't make the ice cream. I can make it, but somebody else would have to freeze it. I can't do no listing then.
Oh, well, you have just made so many people happy over the years with your delicious homemade ice cream.
Hi, Anthony.
How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Oh, I'm doing pretty good for an old lady.
Well, good. We have to come out and visit you sometime.
Yeah, I haven't been out to Farmer's Market for a long time, and it's been a while since I saw you, and I thought I would call and speak to you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you called in.
You take care of yourself. We're about out of time, but we thank you for calling the ice cream lady, a legend in our community. Anthony Tuggle visiting with us this morning. Anthony, thank you for joining us. Have a great day. Between now and next time we get together, we're going to have some rhubarb.
All right, we're going to try to find some other uses for rhubarb besides pies.
That sounds good, with less sugar.
That's right.
Have a good one. Truman's next.
A few years later, I was off at college, talking to Mom on the phone one night, getting all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs of the small town life. She said, oh, by the way, son,